Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And joining us here in studio, it's always a joy when he comes by, James Rosen with the Fox News Channel, who, by the way, is going to be hosting Special Report tonight. I've noticed you in the anchor chair more and more, my friend.
Well, it's good to be there, and it's good to be here. This is a little of the best of everything. Brian, of course, is a longtime and dear friend, so it's good to reunite. And Mary, who's lovely, I'm meeting for the first time.
Thank you. And I want you to know that I had a totally different, I had my Friday outfit on, and I realized you were in studio. Do you know I went back and got changed this morning?
Changed clothes for you, James.
Wow, and here I showed up almost virtually like a ragamuffin.
I didn't know anyone else used that term. I thought I was the only one who said ragamuffin.
James, we got a lot to talk about and a lot to cover. There's so much going on in this town right now, but I want to start off by, you know, having a moment to talk about a guy that we both worked for. You worked for him for many years. I worked for him for 12 years, and who passed away yesterday, and it's Roger Ailes. It's a complicated conversation to have today, given all the events that have happened in the last year or so. But I think a lot of people who work for Roger Ailes have the sort of mixed emotions about it. I have great concern about what happened. I have great memories of the man.
Of course, first we are obligated to say that our thoughts and condolences are with Roger's family, Elizabeth and Zach, and all the people who knew him well and who loved him. Despite Roger Ailes' flaws, and I think we can also safely say that those have been fairly exhaustively cataloged over the last 12 months or so, one has to give Roger Ailes his due. As a titan in a bunch of different disciplines, whether it was political consulting, whether it was television news, whether it was talk, he changed the way that people talk in this country about a lot of different subjects. And I think what Roger would probably most want to be remembered as is not a political consultant, not a news executive. He'd want to be remembered as a master communicator. Mm-hmm. And he published a book in 1988 called You Are the Message, which was all about communication. And in all those different disciplines and enterprises in which Roger toiled and achieved so much, really they all boil down to communication.
Yeah, and he was very good. I mean, the essence of effective communication was something he thought about every day. It became instinctive to him, and I think at times he got frustrated by people who didn't quite understand how to be a really effective communicator.
One didn't want to be the object of Roger Ailes' frustration, though, in general.
That's true. And I'll always remember, may I tell the story about the dead raccoon?
Well, it's your story.
Yeah. There was a time where Paula Zahn left the Fox News Channel to go, I think, over to CBS. Wasn't it CBS, I think. And Roger Ailes was quoted as saying, you know, I can fill that time slot with a dead raccoon and get better ratings. And then you were in the office as I sat there and immediately picked up the phone and started looking for a dead raccoon pelt, which I got from a guy in Maine and I had shipped to Roger's office. And it became something that was a very prominent feature in his office was the dead raccoon that he would show to everybody. And in fact, if you look at pictures of Roger in his office, that dead raccoon was on prominent display.
He thought very highly of you. I know that. And anyway, we should fill in those listeners who might not know this. You and I worked alongside each other, about a foot apart from each other, shared an office for 8.5 years.
Yeah. I feel your pain.
It was the best 8 years of his life. He said so.
While you were in the room.
Yeah, while there was a person with a rubber truncheon standing over me.
Yeah. I have to say, listen, I only met Roger Ailes once and he didn't know it. And but listening to you guys tell your stories as you were, you know, during the news and everything was really enlightening. And it's nice to hear you share your stories because most people just know the name Roger Ailes. And when I met him, I had no clue who he was. And but it did make him laugh. And because I didn't know who he was, so I was quite forward. I was me. And, it's interesting hearing the man, the stories of the guy.
Versus the myth and the legend, right?
As opposed to this incredible titan, which he really was, a titan. Yeah. Whether love him or hate him, love or hate the Fox News Channel, you have to respect what he accomplished and what he did. And he totally changed media. That's not an easy thing to do.
No.
And he started out with this little idea. and look what he grew into, and look what he engineered in 10 years the Fox News Channel to becoming. It's incredible.
In fact, just, you know, what Fox News started to become number one in all time slots, it started its run of dominance that continues today in 2002. Mm-hmm. So the channel, I think, was started in October 1996. It went on the air, so it didn't even take him 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember being there. I would think it was my second year at the Fox News Channel when they became number one. It was really quite something. Well, enough about that. And you know, rest in peace, Roger Ailes. And again, it's not that we're ignoring the other stuff that has happened, but you also have to give the man his due for the many things that he accomplished.
Absolutely.
So, James, this town, the pace of things that have been breaking.
Wait a minute. Hashtag this town.
Yeah,
hashtag
right.
this
yeah,
town. For our radio listeners.
It's crazy what's going on in this day. Every day at 5 o'clock for the last 5 or 6 days, there's been some kind of bombshell announcement that sends everybody up into apoplexy as they breathlessly report new developments about James Comey is firing Russians, giving, maybe perhaps releasing classified data. It goes on and on and on. Have you ever seen anything quite like this?
No. The furious tempo of bombshell news is extraordinary. The only analog in my reporting career, mind you, that I came to Washington in 1999, is that it would be the post 9/11 period. Now it's fundamentally different because we're talking about war and peace there and 3,000 lives lost. And in all the hubbub over James Comey or the Russians or who said what to who or who leaked what to who, it doesn't reach that kind of magnitude of seriousness, such as the devastation in New York and in Pennsylvania and at the Pentagon. But right after 9/11, you were drinking from a fire hose as a news reporter.
That's true. That's true. I noticed that you talked about James Comey. I saw you on the set, and you said something that I thought was very interesting, is that James Comey is a man who, when push comes to shove, if he feels like he's being asked to do something inappropriate, he will actually resign.
He has threatened to resign.
He has done that before. Tell that story.
Sure. In the first Bush-Cheney term, the deputy attorney general was a man named James Comey. And after 9/11, Vice President Cheney was the driving force behind enacting a terrorist surveillance program that amounted to warrantless wiretapping of Americans on American soil who were taking part in telephone conversations with suspected terrorists who were overseas. It was edgy, it was pushing the boundaries at the time, but it was thought to be a valuable tool in the war on terror. It had been authorized and reauthorized by the Attorney General at the time, John Ashcroft, about 20 times. John Ashcroft falls ill. He delegates his powers and his authorities to his deputy, James Comey. James Comey stands up and says, I am not going to reauthorize this valuable tool in the war on terror that's been authorized and reauthorized 20 times already because I don't like the supporting language underneath and it better be fixed. Cheney's people wouldn't back down. Finally, James Comey led something akin to a staff revolt at the Department of Justice and had the director of the FBI willing to resign, which was Robert Mueller at that time, a name now back in the news, Comey, to be followed by several staff members. And ultimately, President George W. Bush backed down, tweaked the language as was requested by Comey, and the program continued. But it shows that when James Comey believes he is being confronted with some immoral or illegal order, he has the wherewithal to stand up and threaten resignation. Don't forget, Comey's about 6'8".
Yeah.
He's not a guy that gets pushed around much. So the whole point of this is that if in February, when he wrote this sensational memo, he felt that he was being importuned or pressured by President Trump to shut down the Michael Flynn investigation, why didn't he resign or threaten to resign?
Well, there's so much more we want to talk to you about. James Rosen is going to be here for the full half hour. It is now 7:15 on WMAO. Time for traffic and weather every 10 minutes first on the fives. Here's Jamie Whitten in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Okay, 210 Indian Head Highway northbound has been trying to document this police chase. A lot of activity, and I know if you were in the area, you saw it. Dozens of police cars going north past Palmer Road and up toward that point. It was a stolen ambulance. Now, this looks like it has come to an end safely. 210 onto Palmer Road is where they turn. So now all the activity going Palmer Road to Allentown Road. And again, we're going to have a closure here on Allentown Road, making your trip. Looks like it's going to be before you get to Temple Hill Road. So Allentown Road before Temple Hill, where the police chase has finally come to an end of the stolen ambulance. All right, elsewhere. To the Wilson Bridge, we go in delays now before you get to St. Barnabas Road, 295 southbound, reports of a broken down car near Benning Road with delays as you come off 50 in the BW Parkway. And in the Georgetown Palisades area, still plan accordingly. MacArthur Boulevard remains closed between Reservoir Road and Foxhall Road due to earlier water main break and now repairs. And again, that looks like that police chase has come to an end in Prince George's County, safely on Allentown Road near Temple Hill Road, but still a lot of activity. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Here's the forecast. Sunshine this morning, but a 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms developing this afternoon, a high near 90. Tonight, 40% chance of scattered thundershowers during the evening, a low of 63. Saturday, 73, mostly cloudy. Sunday, in the upper 60s. It'll be about 70 degrees on Monday, by the way, with some thunderstorms. Currently in the nation's capital, we're sitting at 72 degrees at 717 on WMAL.
Stratford University celebrates Military Appreciation Month by offering up to $5,000 in grants to military spouses and dependents. For details about the Stratford Golden Opportunity Grant, visit stratford.edu/gogrant. That's stratford.edu/gogrant.
Well, it's required. It's walk-on music. We'd have some Beatles every time James Rosen is on.
There are places I remember.
Are you get excited about the reissue of Sgt. Pepper's, by the way?
I have studiously listening or avoiding listening to the new tracks that are popping up online so I can savor them as an album.
Yeah, it's got to be something. Mary, you had a question.
I did. When we were just speaking about James Comey and what a stand-up guy he is, and he has a set of morals and ethics, and he stands up for what's right, and I wanted to ask you...
All of that slightly rephrases what I said about Comey, but go ahead.
Well, okay. but you know, you were talking about it, you know, the whole Ashcroft affair.
Correct.
All right. What happened between George W. Bush and now? Because it doesn't seem to me to be the same James Comey.
Well, I think if you ask me why was James Comey fired, I would tell you that because to too many sets of eyes on Capitol Hill within the ranks of the FBI, out there in the electorate, and most notably at the White House and the Department of Justice, James Comey had become a law unto himself. And this was most clearly evidenced when he would give congressional testimony over the last 12 months about the Clinton email case and everything else. It seemed very clearly that James Comey was making up Comey's rules as Comey went along in terms of what he would be able to disclose about investigations and when. He would cite, well, I've been given specific authorization by the Department of Justice to confirm that we are investigating alleged ties between the Trump campaign and the Kremlin. But, you know, go back to July of 2016, when he announced that there would be no prosecution of Hillary Clinton, he stood before the cameras and boldly told the world, nobody at the Department of Justice knows what I'm going to say. So who gets to determine when James Comey starts disclosing facts about cases?
Right.
It seemed like only Comey would know.
If he felt so compelled to enter the fray and hold that press conference, as it's been reported, largely because of the Loretta Lynch affair.
That's right.
And the tarmac affair with Bubba in Phoenix.
Affair is probably not the most apt word given that subject matter, but
kind of creepy.
Also, we shouldn't have said that James Comey gave a press conference when he announced about Hillary Clinton not being prosecuted because he took no questions.
He took no questions. Fair enough. But if he was so offended by that he felt forced to do that, why didn't he resign then?
Yeah.
And Trey Gowdy suggested the other day that there's more to that story than we have heard.
Nor would this be the first time someone has written a memo after the fact to memorialize a conversation as they want it recorded and memorialized. So we have to be as attuned to the prospect that James Comey wrote a self-serving memo as we should be to the idea that President Trump sought to obstruct justice.
Mueller, what do you think?
Well, I think it's getting good reviews from both sides of the aisle. I think he's going to be tenacious. I think this shifts the plane of official Washington a few degrees. For the rest of his presidency, most likely now, President Trump is confronted with this largely unaccountable, supremely powerful beast called the Special Counsel's Office. The three most important words in the Department of Justice's press release announcing this were, quote, and related matters.
But that could work in President Trump's
favor.
That could work for him, right?
I'm not sure. When he says that the mandate of this special counsel is to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 campaign and related matters expands the playing field for this special counsel to engage in mission creep in this direction and that direction. And that's been the experience with special counsels.
Yeah.
But it can creep into the Democrats' direction, though, because of John Podesta.
You know, I always, of course, I see the Nixon in a bouquet of roses. But the apt example here, the the Senate Watergate Committee. Who remembers the actual title? Senate Select Committee on Presidential Campaign Activities of 1972. Nixon's people wanted to broaden it out to 68. And the Senate, which was controlled by Democrats. So, no. This will only be about 1972.
And, you know, comparisons have been made. I mean, Nixon, and you're an aficionado. You've written a book called The Strong Man.
I'm not an aficionado. I'm a historian.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. An historian who has written an interesting book called The Strong Man, John Mitchell and the Secrets of Watergate. And you have done exhaustive. And I, when I use this word, I mean, I have listened for hours and hours you talk about this topic.
You mean you find me exhausting. That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I was saying.
I love the way you handle him. Can you stay?
But here's the thing. I mean, the comparisons, are they apt?
No, not yet. Because Watergate, like a classic episode of Columbo, began with an actual crime. And it was a matter then of determining where final authority for this crime and the subsequent follow-up crimes originated. Here you have an entire investigation, and now it's been elevated to the level of a special counsel, and it's not yet been demonstrated that where the 2016 campaign and Russia are concerned, there was any crime at all.
Yeah, and we talked about the pace of things in this town, and I asked you, you know, in our conversation about whether you thought the pace of what we're experiencing now was it like this in 1974, 1975, and you had a very interesting answer.
Yeah, the news moved more slowly back then, but all of society moved more slowly back then, and so the denizens of 1974 had probably felt that they were as bombarded as we feel today.
James... You caught me mid-sipping coffee.
I have this effect on people, Brian.
James, it's good to have you here. Good morning, and thanks a lot for coming by today.
Thank you.
It means a lot
to
me.
Thank you so much for being in studio. It's
great. I love you guys. Thank you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.